Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
You're a doctor, and you have to think, oh my gosh, they've got this disease, they're going to have to take that nasty medicine, it's going to be the worst 6 months of their life, whatever. And the nurse is like, well, are they going to tell them? And you're like, well, I don't want them to be sad. Okay? Well, is that good? No, those of you who are doctors, like, check the malpractice insurance, right? So you don't want to do that, right? So Jesus is going to tell these people this stuff because he really wants them to hear it and he wants them to change. And it's the same reason he tells us this stuff so directly.
Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the difficult truths when he speaks to you. Today, Pastor Jim explains that when the Lord is incredibly direct about your condition, it's because he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He tells you the hard things because he wants you to listen, face the truth, and experience a real turnaround in your life. It's not compassionate or loving to hide a real danger from someone you love. It only puts that person at risk. That's exactly why Jesus directly calls you to repent of your sin. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he begins his message, The Clear Path to Freedom.
Today we continue John chapter 8, not an easy chapter by any stretch of the imagination, perhaps the most difficult chapter in all of John's gospel. And some people would say the fellow they knew as Jesus of Nazareth, we know him as Jesus Christ, is being harsh. Personally, I disagree, although I would say that Jesus is aggressively going after the lying religious leaders. He's going after them to show them how they're lying, and he's going after them so they're not going to be lying to other people. We left off last week with John 8:30 that said this, as he spoke these words, Jesus spoke these words, many believed in him. That sounds good, right? Sounds good, okay. But is it? That's the question we're going to have to ask ourselves today. The question becomes, was their faith genuine? Okay. This may be a surprise to you. Others are like, duh. Not everyone who says they're a believer really is a believer. Did you know that? Did any of you not know that? Okay, a few of you don't want to raise your hand to say that you didn't know that. I get it. As we move into the next section, Jesus seems to be addressing the believers who are not believers. That's what he's going to be talking about with them. They may have believed somewhat, but they're not what we looked at last week in Romans 12, chapter 1, offering themselves as a living sacrifice. So what happens? Jesus dies for you. You put your trust in him. You have get the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then God says, until you get to the next life, what are you supposed to do? You offer yourself. You offer everything of your life, okay? Everything of your life as a living sacrifice. Now, a lot of people say, I do that. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Go home and check the checkbook. That tells you a lot about where you are. After many years as a follower of Jesus and a pastor, I personally believe that this is the most dangerous spiritual state somebody can be in. To think they are a follower of Jesus and they really are not. And that is something that, you know, we look at these passages and we think Jesus is just picking on the religious leaders, but we all have to consider that ourselves. And many of you have come to this church and you said, I thought I was a follower of Jesus when I got here, and then I got here and I realized that I was not the follower of Jesus that I thought that I was. Also, to know the truth and to walk away from the truth is a very dangerous thing. Or to know the truth and then start to walk with Jesus and then compromise the way you're living is also not good. And people have excuses, but the thing is that if you don't have true faith, eventually the darkness will win out over fake faith. What initially appeared to be Jesus on trial, the religious leaders kind of questioning him, he flips the coin now. And now he puts them on trial. He puts the religious leaders on trial. He puts the audience on trial. And by extension, the Bible reader gets put on trial, and that would be us. And if you are here today and you are not a follower of Jesus, I want to welcome you. Now, Jesus will say some things to the religious leaders, to the crowd, to us today that are just completely shocking. Completely shocking, okay? Jesus is going to tell a lot of these people, you are a slave to sin. They didn't think they were. They're like, no, we sing the song. We're not, right? Nope, you are. And he's also going to tell them, you ready for this? You might want to put your seatbelts in now because Jesus is really going to lay these guys out in this one. He's going to tell the religious leaders, your father is the devil, right? Or if I was from the South, I'd say, your father's from the devil, right? They're going to do that. And so it's not a good situation. So I'll let you in a little bit on my secret of you know, doing sermons. All week long, I was like, oh, come on, Lord, this is too hard. This is too hard. I'm just, you know, you preach hard sermons and there's more empty seats the next week. That's the way it always goes, okay? But then the Lord really changed my mind in what he was really trying to communicate here. And this is something that I think we all have to remember. Let's just say that you were on a trip somewhere and you got bit by some bug or something like that, and you had to get this medicine. It was kind of nasty to take. You had to take it for 6 months. And if you didn't take it, you would die. And you're a doctor. And you have to think, oh my gosh, they've got this disease. They're going to have to take that nasty medicine. It's going to be the worst 6 months of their life, whatever. And the nurse is like, well, are they going to tell them? And you're like, well, I don't want them to be sad. Okay? Well, is that good? No, those of you who are doctors, like, check the malpractice insurance, right? So you don't want to do that, right? So Jesus is going to tell these people this stuff because he really wants them to hear it and he wants them to change. And it's the same reason he tells us this stuff so directly, right? You know, Jesus doesn't get up really. He's not like, oh, you're wonderful, you're great, you're the best. You know, that sells in the United States. But that's not really the way Jesus preaches. So last week, we looked at the clear path to heaven. Today, we're going to look at the title of our message, The Clear Path to Freedom. The Clear Path to Freedom. All right, let's jump in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, so Jesus begins to describe true faith. This is what it looks like. If you abide, we might say if you continue in my word, you are, some versions say, really or truly, my disciples indeed. Now remember, a disciple is not these people that are holier than thou. A disciple is a learner and follower of Jesus. So if you're here today, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're learning about him, you're listening to him, guess what you are? You're a disciple. You're a disciple. So the word abide carries the idea of it, of continuing. So Jesus is saying you're continuing believing, you're continuing trusting, you're continuing to obey, and this is a test of a true disciple, a true learner and follower of Jesus. A lot of people start out well, don't they? They hit the ground running, and then they miss a couple weeks at church. You know, I figure it only takes about 2 or 3 weeks of church miss. That's about it. That's about it for most people. And so they're not doing as well as they were before. And so Jesus is telling them, this is how you do it. You abide, you continue in your faith. Now, let's be honest here. Jesus is being very un-American, isn't he? Did any of you know Jesus is not American? He's Irish. Haven't you seen the pictures? Right? Looks like my people, right? So yeah, I'm always like, I say, we had all these pictures in our house. I was like, why does Jesus look like he's Irish? I don't get that, you know? So anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. So Jesus being un-American, why? Because we like to define faith, don't we? We like to say what faith is. And so Jesus is defining heaven views of true faith, abiding in the word, continuing in the word, remaining in the word. And we might say it is remaining in an intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, people say, well, I don't have to go to church for that. Actually, you kind of do. You kind of do. Because you want to get together with God's people and worship. I've talked to plenty of guys who are like, well, I worship God out on like a patkong. I'm like, really? So you repent to the fish? Is that what you're doing? Right? So, I mean, you have to understand that people have all these definitions of their own way of the way religion should be. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes our walk with God is stronger at times than other times, isn't it? We all have that. That's it. But there is still a consistency of it. To stay close to Jesus is to rest in his work on the cross, to stay in the presence of God through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, let me put a parenthesis on that, okay? When I talk about the Holy Spirit, some people, like, we don't mention him. But we don't mention him, okay? And I'm like, okay, but we do, all right? So we don't mention him. And other people have what I call the weird Holy Spirit, right? Like, they made him weird, right? And they're always telling him to tell you, you know? Like, well, God told me to tell you. And I'm like, okay, I can't wait till he tells me, right? Right? So there's all these different kinds of things. So we want to stay in the presence of God through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. A byproduct of that is what? Obedience to the Lord's teaching. And when you fail, you confess your sins to God. You ask him to help you with that. And let's remember, we live in a world that has a completely different set of values than God does. And, okay, we reject, a lot of people reject it. But in the Gospel of John, okay, we see, and throughout the Bible, we see people of false faith. And a lot of people have this view of Jesus. I like what he says until I don't like what he says. And when I don't like what he says, I'll tell him he's wrong. Now, maybe they'll say I won't tell him he's wrong, but they'll live their life like, in fact, he is wrong. And then what happens is when the church, if you want to build a church in America, you catch wind of what people don't want to hear, and you never talk about it. Right? You want people to leave feeling like, I'm the best, man. I'm so good. God must be so happy, you know, and not good, because you end up very easily with a false faith. Jesus never teaches like that, does he? He doesn't. He is totally honest with everyone. He calls for faith that endures on his terms, not on ours. He sets the terms of faith and not what we say. I mean, you know, you meet the people, I had a few things to say when I meet the God upstairs. You know, you got to be kidding me. I mean, seriously. You know, it's the old Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. If you're old, you know what that is. A hamina, 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 hamina. Right? I'm like, if you can even get that out, right? You're not going to be tell God off. Now, when we get to chapter 15, we're in chapter 8 now, right? What do you think, chapter 15, about 20 years? All right, we get to chapter 15. Jesus will talk a lot about abiding in the nature of true discipleship. So who are these people of verse 30 that were, where it says that many believed in him? It's those who make an outward profession of faith. They probably look like it on the outside. They make an outward profession of faith, but not an internal one. Now, this is a very serious question for all of us to answer. Follower of Jesus or not, especially for you as a follower of Jesus, has my faith changed the way I think about the world? Has my faith changed the way I live in this world? Now, we all come to faith. We come in different things. Some of us are just basket cases. That's me. I'm in the basket case category, okay? Some of you are pretty decent people. But yet, you'll realize that God is still bringing different things of sin to your life that you need to improve, right? Why? Because he is conforming you into the image of Christ. That's what he's doing. And we have, no matter how good you are, you're a long way from perfection, right? And so that's what he is doing with us, okay? And we have to, you know, be honest, right? Okay? We live in a very greedy world, right? We live in a very self-centered world. Now, that's the big thing to do today is to blame the rich, isn't it? Blame the rich, right? But as far as I can tell, rich people are selfish. Poor people are selfish. The people in the middle are selfish, okay? We're all selfish, okay? And so we don't want to do that. So is there hope? Yes, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, or some versions say, set you free. So what happens to someone who abides in the words of Jesus Christ? He says they, or specifically he says you, every one of you, me, all of us, shall know the truth. Well, what is the truth? Okay? Well, the truth begins with, and the context is always the king, the true knowledge of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, those of you who are newer to this stuff, did you know the word gospel means good news? That's what it is. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. In other words, coming to know Jesus Christ as the truth brings a transforming sense of freedom to the human life. Can I say that again? Because she said amen. I want to say that again because as we go through this, you're going to have to really think about this, that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it brings a transforming sense of freedom, even a new sense of freedom to the human life. Freedom from things like darkness. Any of you ever experienced darkness? We all experience darkness, okay? Freedom of feeling that constant sense of guilt before God, even though you know that he has forgiven you, all right? Or how about the power of sin? Do you ever feel like you just can't win against it? You're trying and you're trying and you're trying. Even the power of death, knowing that when you are in Christ, you are free from the power of death. Body, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, I was reading that when I first became a follower of Jesus, read the Bible constantly, all the time. And I kept thinking of this idea of freedom. And I couldn't kind of get my arms around it. And I was at a party, not long after, maybe in the first year I was a Christian. I was at a party and some of my friends were there. And one of my friends walked up to me and he says, "Hey, you want a beer and a couple shots?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Oh, that's right. You're one of those people now." And I'm like, "What do you mean one of those people?" He said, "You're one of those religious people now. You're a Christian guy now, right?" I said, "Yeah, I am. And they said, "And your religion doesn't allow you to drink that stuff." And you know what I said to him? I said to him, "You know what? I'm actually free." And he said, "What do you mean?" I go, "Before I could only say yes, but now I can say yes or no. I couldn't say that before." And I said, "So no, I don't want anything." And he looked at me and he's like, "You know, that actually makes sense." And he's like, "What are you, a preacher now?" I was like, "No, little did I know," right? Okay, John 1:17 says this. "See, I was no longer under the law, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." What was I doing? I was walking in grace, not in truth. And grace is more powerful than the law, for sure. Now, I don't drink anymore, right? Pam and I decided after we were married 10 years, we didn't want to drink anymore. Appears to be in the Bible that you can have a drink, but you shouldn't be drunk. It's up to you. It's a choice that you make. Some of us here in Calvary Chapel, it's one of the things we love about Calvary Chapel. There's so many great drinkers. So we don't drink anymore, right? But, you know, that's it. Anyway, next. Did they really trust Jesus? Look at verse 33. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage,'" some versions say enslaved, "to anyone. 'How can you say you will be made free?'" So Jesus struck a nerve with these guys. And they, in our way of talking, they're like, "What are you talking about?" Or "You're an idiot." In their mind, they were free. And here the religious leaders, although they were under Roman occupation, okay, right? They just think that they're fine. Now, so many nations, this is the way it would go. God would warn them, they would not pay attention to God, and other nations would take them over or take them away captive or something like that. But yet, they were fine with it. They said, "We are Abraham's descendant," or some versions say, "the seed of Abraham." What are they saying? "We're God's children, we're royalty, we don't care about all these other people, we don't care about what's going on." But here's something that we all need to understand. God the Father did not send Jesus to add to their religion. He's not an add-on. If you're here and you consider yourself a religious person, you're probably ready to kill me now. I get it. It's only going to get worse from here, by the way. But anyway, okay, he didn't send Jesus here to add to your religion. He did not. He sent Jesus as the Savior to those who know they need a Savior. That's why he sent them. That's why he sent them. And he's going to teach us in some very difficult ways today, as we go along, that we need a Savior. The Old Testament prophet Amos wrote these words. Amos 3:2a, we call it. And we're only going to read the first half. We're going to pause. You only have I known or chosen of all the families of the earth. That's what he says to the Jewish people. Now, if you heard that, you'd be like, we're good, baby, right? This is good. We're the people, okay? But sometimes we read Bible verses and we stop. Do you ever do that? You're like, I like the first half. I don't like the second half. Listen to what the second half says. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Right? Okay, so I'm going to punish you for all your sins. Now, in other words, you're my kids, but I'm going to punish you. Now, those of you who've raised kids, if you never punish them, okay, just send me a, text and I'll go visit them in jail, right? You have to discipline your kids. Do you know that? All the kids hate me now, okay, right? You have to discipline your kids. We used to have this all the time with my kids. Pam would call me at work, and she'd say, you wouldn't believe what your son did today. Now, we have two boys. I never had to ask which one it was because he's just like his father. Like, I have a little brother. He's the good child, right? Yeah, we toasted him at my sister's wedding. I toasted him, and not his wedding. I toasted him to the good child, and my sister yelled out, amen, right? Okay, so I would get home, and she'd send him up to his room, and I'd be at the table, and she'd be like, come on, you got to go discipline him. And I'm like, okay. She's like, come on, what are you waiting for? I go, I got to get mad. apple falls far from the tree sometimes, you know. So God's like, you're my kids, but I'm going to discipline you. It seems that their freedom was a spiritual reality, despite the fact that so many times they disobeyed God and God used another nation to come in and, wreak havoc on them and take a lot of them captive. Now, during Jesus' time, there were rioters against Rome, but the religious people were like, who cares about the Romans? We're God's chosen people. So that's why they come back with, how can you say you will be made free? They're getting angry. This chapter is so important because Jesus is providing for us the reason why they want to kill him. We're going to see this through and through. The problem is they're blind to what's really going on. They are living in darkness and don't even know they're living in darkness. And I bet every one of you knows someone who really is living in darkness and doesn't even know it. And guess what? You might be the answer for them. Maybe they're just waiting for somebody to come to them and tell them how to get out of the darkness. And you do it with compassion, you do it with grace, and maybe you even have to offer some of your own help.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.